We want to turn today in the Word of God to the book of Job, chapter 23. Job chapter 23. We want to read the chapter in its entirety. There are familiar verses before us, but let us not lose the force of them as we read them together in God's house. So it's Job chapter 23. We'll commence at the opening verse. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." God's word open, let's unite briefly in prayer. Our Father, we pray that thou wilt sanctify these moments now, as we come, dear God, to consider the word that is before us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that instruction might be given. We pray, Lord, that as thou art the great teacher, the sole teacher of thy children, we pray that by thy Spirit that thou wilt come. We take the words of the hymn writer to be our prayer today. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of God to me. Lord, as we come now around thy word, let the word be that challenge, be that blessing. We ask of thee for a word from God. Lord, we pray that thou wilt lift this preacher from the place, O God, where, as it were, oratory is all that he has, but thou wilt bring us to that place where we're filled with thy Spirit and with thy power. The fresh unction, fresh oil, a fresh anointing is given. Lord, bring us to that place where the prophet was. Whenever he said, "I am full of power." Lord, fill us with power today. Let the word, O God, come with power. Shut us into God. We pray that thou wilt bring every wandering thought into captivity. We pray that thou wilt bring down strongholds. And thou wilt exalt Christ. We pray, Father, for this time, that thou wilt be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. How sweet are the words concerning our God that we find recorded in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. For he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." This promise of God's abiding presence has provided solace and comfort for many a child of God who has found themselves buffeted and tossed by the storms and adversities of life. It's given consolation to those who have been forsaken by family and friends in their hour of need. It has provided assurance for those who have had to leave family behind in a hospital ward and enter an operating theatre unaccompanied by those that love them the most. It's given support over those days and weeks and months and years after the passing and the death of a precious loved one. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And yet there are times in the Christian's experience when it appears that God has hidden Himself. Times when it seems that God's presence has been withdrawn. Times when heaven remains silent to our prayers. Times when we walk in darkness and not in light, not knowing whether God is leading and guiding us in the way that we should go. Job was experiencing such a time in his life. Family and flocks and finances had all been taken from him in a less than 24-hour period. His friends, seeing him grief-stricken and bewildered, try unsuccessfully to unravel the mysterious providential events in his life. Disheartened, downcast, depressed, and feeling that God had hidden himself from him, Job vents his frustration in chapter 23 by declaring in the verse number 3, Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job struggled to find God in his trying circumstances. To this saint of God, it was as if God had hidden himself in his greatest hour of need. Notice what he says in the verse number 9. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. I want us to consider in this meeting the subject matter of God's hiding. The hiding of God. And I trust that as we do so, that God will enlighten our understanding to this mysterious and yet to this revealed truth found within His Word, because there are times that God hides Himself. Job experienced it. We too shall experience it. I want us to consider firstly from these words in the verse number 9, He hideth Himself. I want you to see the reality of God hiding Himself. The reality of God hiding Himself. Now the God that we find revealed to us in the Word of God, He reveals Himself as a God who is immense. A God who is omnipresent, filling every point of time and space in His entire being. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 24, Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. And thus to speak of God, as it were, hiding Himself from His children, cannot be properly spoken of Him. And yet there are times on the road of life that it seems to be that God forsakes His children. It seems to be that God hides Himself so that the Christian cannot discern God's hand in the circumstances of their life. Times whenever God withholds the sweet manifestations of His favor, and He veils His face so as to appear to have withdrawn Himself from the believer. This is what we refer to whenever we speak about God hiding Himself. I'm sure you've experienced such times in your life. Times when you felt that God had withdrawn Himself and left you to face the trials of life alone. Moments in the valley of depression when you've felt no sense of God's presence and you've cried out in frustration, Master, carest thou not that I perish? Season in life whenever sickness has crippled the body and the never-ending pain has caused deep despair to settle in upon the mind, causing you to question Christ's love for you. Periods of sorrow, when it seemed that God stood at a distance, uncaring, unsympathetic in relation to your brokenheartedness. Let me assure you that you're not the first child of God to experience the hiding of God, and you'll certainly not be the last. There are numerous examples that I could point you to in regard to the reality of God hiding Himself. For it did not only happen in the life of Job, but it happened to other saints of God within the record of Scripture. I think of Joseph, chapters 39 through to 41. I want you to view him. He sits there in the squalor of an Egyptian dungeon cell. His brothers hate him. He's separated from his loving father Jacob, the younger brother Benjamin. He's been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and his master's wife and misjudged and mistreated by Potiphar. The prospect of any future release from that prison cell was but a distant hope for Joseph. And sure as he sat there in the squalor of that Egyptian dungeon cell, and as he viewed and surveyed the trying circumstances that he now found himself in, I'm sure Joseph, at some point of his incarceration, I'm sure Joseph asked this question: Where is God in all of this? Here I am as a young man. I've tried to live a godly life. I've tried to obey my father. I've tried to live by the commandments of Scripture. And here I am, separated from all. No prospect of release. Where is God in my circumstances? Joseph was experiencing the hiding of God. I think about the Shunammite woman that we read in 2 Kings in the chapter 4. Here's a woman who builds a little annex onto her home. It's there provided for the prophet, the man of God, Elisha. A bed, a stool, a table. Every time the holy man of God would come by that way, he would go into that little annex and find a place where he could refresh himself. In response to her kindness to the man of God, God provides her a son. It would be one harvest that tragedy would enter that home. Like any young man who has a farmer as a father, he wanted to go out into the fields, and so he does. He goes into the fields, and it seems to be that some sickness comes upon him so that the young boy is carried back home again. By nightfall, he's now dead, lying on his mother's knees. As that Shunammite woman, having honored God with her substance, having honored God as in providing for the man of God, as this woman now sits in her seat and in her house of mourning, I'm sure the Shunammite woman wondered where God was. It seemed to be that God was at a distance to her. In the moment of her deep distress, she could not find God in her circumstances. She was experiencing a hidden God. I think of David. David, on many occasions within the Psalms, would speak about the hiding of God's face. Let me give you just one, Psalm 13 and the verse number 1. There we read in Psalm 13, the verse number 1, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" I read of another psalmist, the psalm Heman and the Ezraite. We find his request, Psalm 84 or 88 in the verse 14. Psalm 88 in the verse 14. The psalmist here said, "Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me?" We go into the New Testament, we find Mary and Martha there in the chapter 10 of John's Gospel. For 4 days the Savior remains at a distance. For 4 days they asked for Him to come, and yet He desires to wait. He desires to wait on His own time. They look for His intervention on behalf of their dying brother Lazarus, and yet Christ waited to show Himself in the time He saw best fit to do so. As one day ran into the next, to run into the next, Mary and Martha, I'm sure they wondered where God was. They were experiencing a hiding of God, as it were. But I think the greatest example that I could point you to, with respect to the hiding of God, I would have to take you to the cross of Calvary. For there the Son of God, He experienced the hiding of God. There we find there on the cross of Calvary in Matthew chapter 27 verse 20 or 46. The cry comes out of the darkness, "Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As Christ was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, the Savior now is without a sense of the gracious presence of God. God is who is of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity, had to hide his face from his son. The hymn writer said, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the great creator died for man the creature sin. Matthew Henry explained the son's forsaking by the father in this way. He said, God hid his face from him and for a while withdrew his rod and staff in the darksome valley. God forsook him, not as he forsook King Saul, leaving him to an endless despair, but as sometimes he forsook David, leaving him to a present despondency. The Son of God experienced the hiding of God's face. Now if Christ, who is the sole head and king of his church, was for a time forsaken by his Father, will it not be so with us, who are members of his body and of his church? Child of God, though chosen, and though loved by your Father, there will be seasons when you will feel that God's face is turned away from you. There will be moments when the conscious sense of his presence will be withdrawn from your life. There will be times like Job that you'll cry out in frustration, oh, that I knew where I might find him. The reality of God hiding himself. Having established that fact, I want us to consider, secondly, some reasons why God hides himself. Why does God choose to hide himself at times? In his wisdom, why does he seemingly withdraw his presence from us? Well, let me suggest just a few reasons. Firstly, he withdraws or he hides himself for a time to reveal to us the true nature of our hearts. He hides himself to reveal the true nature of our hearts. We need to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32 to find this borne out for us. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and the verse number 31. God would hide himself from godly King Hezekiah. This was the man that reestablished true worship within the land and within the nation. And yet it tells us that God withdraws himself from the man. Let's notice 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, I want you to realize that that word, that personal pronoun, he, that he might know what was in his heart, does not refer to God, because God knows all things. The he refers us to King Hezekiah, that Hezekiah might know what was in his own heart. God left him to show him that he was not so perfect in grace as he thought he was. God left him to show him that he had the same follies and he had the same infirmities as other men had. Matthew Henry, bringing personal application from this very event in Hezekiah's life to our own hearts, he said this: it is good for us to know ourselves and our own weakness and sinfulness, that we may not be conceited or self-confident, but may always think meanly of ourselves and live in a dependence upon divine grace. We know not the corruption of our own hearts, nor what we shall do if God leave us to ourselves. It's true. It's in those times when God withdraws himself that the true nature of our hearts comes forth. Is it not the case? In such times, when we feel that we've been abandoned by God, what do? We charge God foolishly. Master, carest thou not that we perish? We charge God foolishly. And it shows us the real nature of our hearts. Oh, what else do? We lean on our own understanding. Oh yes, at times when God is near, we say that we're trusting in God. And then whenever He withdraws His conscious presence from us, we find ourselves leaning on our own understanding and making wrong choices in life. And it really just reveals to us who we're trusting in. When God withdraws His sense of His presence. You see, the hiding of God's face reveals whether the heart is truly trusting at all times, or whether that's just an empty boast in those good and better days. And so God hides Himself to reveal to us the true nature of our hearts. He withdraws and hides Himself, secondly, to provoke us to self-examination. To provoke us to self-examination. The Bible makes it very clear that God hides Himself when we allow sin into our lives. In the book of Isaiah, we read the words there in the chapter 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have what? They have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Here it is, in black and white. A believer that willfully allows sin into their lives. A believer that habitually lives in sin. A believer that, as it were, tinkers and tries to get as close to the world as is possible. That believer will experience God hiding Himself from them. He will hide His face from you. That should perturb you. That should trouble you. That should cause you anxiety. That God would hide His face from you. There is nothing like the smile of God upon a believer's life. There is nothing like living in the conscious presence of God day by day, hour by hour. And to lose that is to lose everything. Well, God hides His face. He withdraws His favor in order to lead us to examine our hearts. We find that played out for us in the life of Joshua and the children of Israel as they stood at Ai. Achan had, as it were, taken the accursed thing, the Babylonish garment, the talents of gold. He had hidden them and thought that no one had saw him. And so they go up to Ai to try and defeat that city. But in the midst of the skirmish, 36 men are slaughtered within Israel. And so Israel returned defeated. And Joshua gets before the Lord. He gets before the Lord's face to ask Him the reason why. Why the defeat? Why the lack of God's presence? Why did God not go up with us? And it wasn't long before God said to Joshua, "Get up. Get up off thy face, for there's sin in the camp." There's sin in the camp. I wonder, the lack of blessing, as we preach the word week after week, I wonder is the reason is because there's sin in the camp. Is there sin in the camp? It was in Joshua's day. And until it was dealt with, until it was exposed, until it was repented of, then Israel would remain in defeat. But bless God, they put sin out, dealt with it ruthlessly. It was dealt with, and they saw victory there at Ai. There are times in our lives, believer, times in my life, I harbor sin in my heart. God brings us to the place where we no longer sense His presence. And that should cause us to seek after Him. In such times our prayer should be, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Can I suggest another reason why God hides Himself? I believe that he hides himself to alert us of our departures from him. It alerts us to our departures from him. As believers, there are times when we grow cold. Times when our feet start to stray. God never leaves us. We always leave him. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, he spoke of this. He said, God is just in all of his withdrawings. We desert him before he deserts us. We desert God when we leave off close communion with him. We desert his truths and dare not appear for him. When we leave the guidance and conduct of his word and follow the deceitful light of our own corrupt affections and passions, we usually desert God first. Therefore, we have none to blame but ourselves. Is it not the case that those times when we feel God at a distance is due to our own departures from the Lord? Let me ask you, did you meet with him today? Did you meet with him today? In prayer? In the Word, did you meet with him today? Preacher, I thought that I would meet with him here. No, did you meet with him alone? You have departed from him. Oh, that you would return. Such times should alert us to our own backslidings, provoking us to return unto him. Our resolve should be like that spoken of in Hosea 6 verse 1. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. The final reason why God hides himself is so that we would seek after him again. It would set us seeking after him again. Times of desertion, when God hides his face, should set us seeking after God. I think that's pictured for us in the most wonderful way in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3. The woman, she lies upon her bed at night, and then she realizes that her lover, her beloved, is gone. She wakes up in the midst of the night and clads the garments about her, and she goes out into the darkness of the night, into the city. Think about it. Into the city. No street lamps in those days. No police officers walking the streets those days. No law enforcement officers and cars in those days. Here's a woman, and her love for her beloved causes her to get across all of those obstacles, all of those fears, because she just wants to find him whom her soul loveth. She searches. She asks the watchman, do you know where he is? Eventually she finds him, and she holds him, and she cleaves to him. It's a picture of the backslider. One, as it were, who has, as it were, lost God, lost the sense of his presence, and they now seek after him until they find him. And that should be our case. Whenever we lose the sense of God's presence in our lives, it should cause us to seek after him again. I wonder, are you seeking him? Let me ask you, the one you once prized, do you prize him anymore? Is he any longer prized by you? Are you able to sing with the words, I believe it's of John Wesley, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. If today God seems hidden from you, seek him. For those that seek him will find him when they seek him with all their hearts. I want you to see finally, not only the reality, but I want you to see in the third place, and the reasons why God hides himself in the third place, our response when God hides himself. See, our response should mimic that of Job's in the chapter that we read. I agree that we should firstly, when God hides himself, we've already pointed to it in our last point, we should seek God more diligently. When Job said in the verse number 3, "All that I knew, where I might find him." We do not find Job sitting down and resigning himself to the fact that he no longer would enjoy God's presence in his life. We don't find him doing that. Instead, we find him seeking, diligently seeking after God. Notice what it says in the verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." Do you see him? There he is. Can't sense God in his life anymore. God, as it were, has hidden himself from him, and yet he seeks after him. Forward, backward, left and right, in every direction. Child of God, whenever God hides himself, we're not to sit down and say and resign ourselves to the fact that I can no longer enjoy what I had once in Christ. We can't sit down and resign ourselves and say, "Well, this is my lot in life and I'll just have to struggle without God in my life." No, no, no. We're to seek God. And we're to seek him diligently. For the Word of God says that they that seek him shall find him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whenever Joseph and Mary left Christ in Jerusalem, it said that they sought him diligently. They sought him diligently. We should be like them. We should be like them. Our second response is, we should trust God more fully. When God hides himself, we should still trust God. I want you to get that. Whenever it seems that God has forsaken you, child of God, whenever it seems that you cannot discern God working in your life, and you know the verses of Scripture, all things work together for good, you know them. But it seems to be at that point of time that you cannot see it, how it's all going to work out. I want you to remember this truth, that you're to trust God more fully, even in the darkness. I believe that's brought forth in various statements that Job says throughout this book. I bring two of them to you. The first is in Job 13, verse 15. Notice his faith. The faith in the darkness. Child of God, it's faith in the darkness. And here he says, "In the darkness, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." We find his faith also displayed within this very chapter. I'm sure you thought we would maybe go there. The verse number 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job in the crucible. Job trusted God more fully. See, child of God, God never said that he would explain the reason for every trial. He never said that he would explain the reason for every valley, every mountain, every period of sickness, every bereavement, every heartache, every disappointment that we would face in life. Yet he told us to trust in him at all times. It was Martin Luther, the great reformer, who said, "Though we may not be able to trace his hand, we can always trust his heart." Trusting his heart. When God hides his face, may we continue to trust in him, knowing that he's working all things after the counsel of his own will. The last thing that we're to do, we're to cleave to God more closely. When God hides himself, we're to cleave to God more closely. When God hides himself, there is the awful temptation of becoming slack in our Christian life. We give up in prayer. we give up on our attendance at God's house. And very soon we find ourselves in a backslidden condition. Not so with Job. Job continued to walk and to cleave to his God. Note his testimony in the verses 11 and 12. He says, "My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." Here's a man. Imagine it. He's lost everything. And yet he's going to cleave to God more closely in the midst of his circumstances. Instead of leaving God, the Christian in the times of God's hiding is to cleave to God. Instead of leaving, we are to find ourselves cleaving to Him. I wonder today, is God hidden from you? Have you come into this meeting? God seems a hidden God from you. Rest assured, child of God, that is only for a moment. How do I know it? I know it because I want just to turn your attention very quickly to one verse. Isaiah chapter 54, two verses. Isaiah 54, verses 7 and 8. Here's a promise I want you to take with you as we finish this message. How do I know it's for a moment? Well, I know it's for a moment because it tells us in the Word it's for a moment. Isaiah 54, verse 7. "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." And then verse 8, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer." Covenant promise. He's your Redeemer. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every wild and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so, whenever the mists come in, this week, next month, this year, it seems to be that God is hidden Himself. Trust Him. Seek Him. Cleave to Him. And He'll bring you forth as refiner's gold. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts, even today, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's bow in prayer.